أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Lesson number 306, Surah Al-Inshiqaq, ayah number 1 to 25. Surah Al-Inshiqaq is a Makki surah, and it was revealed after Surah Al-Infitar. The surahs Al-Takwir, Al-Infitar, and Surah Al-Inshiqaq, all of these surahs, they mention the events that will take place on the Day of Judgment. And as I mentioned to you the hadith, what do we learn from the hadith? That if any person wishes to see what will happen on that day, see in detail, then he should read these surahs. And if you notice, in all of these surahs, what's the first thing that is mentioned? The sky. What will happen to the sky on that day? Over here also, إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ شَقَّتْ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This surah has one ruku', 25 verses. إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ شَقَّتْ. When the sky has split open. What does it mean by إِذَا? That in the future, on the Day of Judgment, when this will happen. And إِذَا also means that all of a sudden it will happen, instantly, within moments. One blow of the trumpet, and within seconds, إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ شَقَّتْ. What does it mean by إِنْشَقَّتْ, إِنْشِقَاق? إِنْشِقَاق is when something is torn off completely, such that it's irreversible. Meaning, you have torn it, you have broken it in such a way that you cannot fix it now. There's no way you can fix it. There's no way you can repair it. If you want to have it, you're going to have to make it from scratch again. And it's also used for tearing something or splitting something that is not generally torn or split. For example, typically, what would you tear? A piece of cloth? Now, when it comes to the sky, can you even think about tearing the sky? The sky being torn? No. Similarly, the word is also used for the splitting of the moon. وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةِ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ. The moon has split. Similarly, the earth. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّ. Meaning, generally, you don't think about the earth or the sky or the moon tearing or ripping or breaking. Because when it comes to tearing or breaking something, you always think of something that is very soft, something that is fragile. This is why the word inshiqaq is also used for breaking something that is hard, that is solid, and when it breaks into two or more pieces. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. When the sky has split open. In Surah Al-Furqan, 25, we learn وَيَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ. And the day when the heaven will split open with emerging clouds. In Surah Al-Rahman, ayah 37, فَإِذَا انشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ. So, the inshiqaq of the sky on the Day of Judgment, this is mentioned many times in the Quran. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. And it has responded to its Lord, and it was obligated to do so. Meaning when it broke apart, on the Day of Judgment, when the sky will break open, when it will be torn apart. Why is it being torn apart? Because it has responded to its Lord. Adinat is from idhn. And what does idhn mean? Permission. And udhun from the same root is used for ear. So adina has two meanings. First of all, adina is understood as that it has listened to, because when you give permission to someone to do something, you are listening to them. Isn't it so? When you allow them, you're listening to them. They made a request that, may I do this? You listen to them and you say, yes, you may. So we learn in the Quran, عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَ أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Why did you listen to them? Meaning, why did you permit them? Why did you allow them? إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Except for the one whom Allah allows. So, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا. Meaning it has listened to, it has obeyed. And secondly, أُذُن is to ear. So with the ear a person listens. And when this word is used for listening, it gives meaning of إِسْتِمَاعُ لِلشَّيْءِ وَالْإِصْغَاء إِلَيْهِ. To listen to something attentively and also be inclined to also pay attention to it, meaning to also carry it out. Carry out the instruction that has been given. So وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا, the sky, it has listened to its Lord, it has responded to its Lord, it has obeyed its Lord. Which command of its Lord has it obeyed? The command to break apart, the command to انشقت. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ, and it was obligated to do so. حُقَّتْ, from the root letters حَقَفْ قَفْ. What does حَقْ mean? Right, reality, true. And the حَقْ of a person is his right, meaning what he deserves. And the word حَقْ is also used for something that is incumbent on someone, meaning something that is necessary for someone. Like for example, Allah says, وَكَانَ حَقٌ عَلَيْنَا, it is حَقْ on us, نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, meaning it is incumbent on us, it is necessary for us that we must help the believers. So حَقْ is also used for something that is wajib, something that is wajib. So وَحُقَّتْ, meaning it was obliged, it was obligated, it was necessary for the sky to break apart at the command of its Lord. حَقَّ لَهَا أَن تُطِيعَ رَبَّهَا وَحُقَّتْ, meaning it is necessary for it to obey its Lord. We learn that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the sky, at that time Allah said to it, we learn in Surah Fussilat ayah 11, that ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٌ فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ ائْتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا. You have to come and obey me whether you like it or you don't. طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا. قالت أتينا طائعين. They said, we both come how? As obedient, as submissive, willingly we come. So at the beginning of its creation, the sky was very obedient to its Lord. And we see that at the end of its term, when the sky is to be finished, over here also, what does Allah say? أذنت لربها وحقت, it was obedient to its Lord. It listened to its Lord. When Allah commanded it, finish, break apart, be torn apart, the sky was very obedient. And this obedience, Allah says, وَحُقَّتْ, it was obligated to obey Allah. What does this show? That when Allah gives any command, when Allah gives any command to His creation, whether it is difficult or it is easy, whether it is highlighting yourself or completely finishing yourself, exposing yourself, or completely neglecting yourself, whatever it is, any command of Allah, the creation is obligated to accept the command. The creation, the khalq of Allah, should not be arrogant over there. And we see that the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like this. Imagine how massive the sky is. Sab'an shidada, seven strong skies. وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ. The word bana has been used for the sky. What does it show? That how strong it is, how powerful it is. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ. But we see that the sky is so obedient to Allah. When Allah said come, came. When Allah said finish, finished. وَحُقَّتْ. What's the lesson in this for us? What's the lesson in this for us? That any command of Allah, whether we find it easy or difficult, whether we feel that it will bring us importance or it will completely hide us away from the eyes of people, we have to do it because وَحُقَّتْ, we are obligated to obey the command of Allah. And remember that a person's success lies in what? Obeying Allah. And we learn that the mightiest of creations, even they are so obedient. For example, the sky is mentioned over here. Elsewhere we learn that if the Quran was to be revealed on a mountain, what would happen to it? خَشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, it would not stand firm at all, it would break apart, it would fall down, it would collapse. So such should be a human being as well, such should be a person as well, that when the command of Allah comes, accept, obey, submit. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, and when the earth has been extended, مُدَّتْ مِيمْ دَالْ دَالْ, it has been stretched. On the day of judgment, meaning when its width is increased, it will be expanded. Why will it be expanded? Why? So that the entire creation, all of the people, from the first man to the last, can be at the surface of the earth. We have learned earlier that all the people will be there. The wuhush, وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. Even they will be resurrected. Imagine the amount of creatures that have lived on the earth, that still live, that will come. Imagine the amount of creation. All of that has to be there. Then the angels, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. All of the angels are also going to descend. And they will be where? عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا. So, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. It will be expanded. Why? So that all of the creation can stand on it. All of the creation can be present over there. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. And the word mad, as you know, is used for stretching something, making it long. And mad is also used for stretching leather. مَدَّ الْأَدِيمِ. To stretch leather, to expand it. And how is it that the earth will be stretched? How is it that it will be extended? That first of all, whatever is on it will be removed. Whatever mountains, hills, dunes, valleys, anything that is on the earth will be removed. In Surah Al-Haqqa, Ayah 14, وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَتُكَّتَا دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا. Everything finished. So when all of these dunes and mountains are removed, there will be more surface. And the earth itself will also be expanded so that it has more space on it, more surface area. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. And it has cast out that within it and relinquished it. Meaning the earth will أَلْقَتْ. It will throw out. And إِلْقَى is to throw something far, or to throw in such a way that it is in front of the other. He can see it. So the earth will throw out what? مَا فِيهَا. Whatever that is in it. Whether it is dead people, animals, treasures, anything, minerals, resources, whatever is in the earth, rocks, boulders, whatever is in the earth will be thrown out of it. أَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا. Because the earth will be stretched open. As it is stretched, as it is expanded, whatever is inside is going to come out. أَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. And it will become empty. Meaning empty from inside. Nothing will remain hidden in the earth. So if there was a person who was buried in the earth and he was very, very deep down, even he will come out. وَتَخَلَّتْ. تَخَلَّتْ from the root letters خَالَ أَمْوَال. What does it mean? To be empty. So it will be completely empty. And why is it that the earth will do this? وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحَقَّتْ. Because it has responded to its Lord and it was obligated to do so. Because this end of the universe, meaning the sky coming to an end, the earth also completely finishing, it may seem that, oh, this is destruction at mass scale, at a mass level. Why is this happening? Because Allah has commanded. Because Allah has said so. You know, for example, if there's a huge building, and if it's demolished while it's still usable, then people wonder that why is it being demolished? What's the reason? There are many people who could stand up against it, who could oppose it, isn't it? But we see that now no one can oppose. Why? Because Allah has commanded. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا. And when Allah has commanded the earth, finish, حُقَّتْ. It was obligated to obey. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ. O mankind, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. Indeed, you are laboring toward your Lord with great exertion, and will meet him, or will meet it. Ya ayyuhal insan. Who does al-insan refer to? Every single person, every single human being. Innaka kadihun. Indeed, you are kadih. What does it mean by kadih? Kadih is from the root letters kaf, dal, ha, kadh. And kadh is sa'i, to put in effort, to exert, to put in effort, to toil in achieving something. That a person is not just trying to get something, however, he's putting in his full effort, he's struggling day in and day out. Why? In order to obtain something. So it is to put in a lot of effort in doing something. While a person suffers loss, he suffers pain, he suffers from difficulty, he suffers from hurt, but he keeps going, he keeps going. Why? Because he wants to achieve his goal. This is who a kadih is. So what kind of a struggle is it? What kind of a struggle is it? Laborsome. Meaning it's very laborious. A person has to put in a lot of effort in it. And this effort, it could be for something good, it could be for something bad. It could be rewardable at the end, it could be complete waste of the effort at the end. But what's the point over here? Kadih is one who is putting in a lot of effort in whatever he's doing. He's working with a lot of effort. So, Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun. Indeed, you are laboring. You are struggling. You are toiling. Ila rabbika, to your Lord. What does it mean by this, ila rabbika? Meaning you're going through life, putting in effort, and eventually, who will you meet? Your Lord. Ila rabbika. Kadahan, a definite toiling, meaning laboriously, putting in a lot of effort. Famulaqihi, and then you're going to meet him. Mulaqi, one who meets, he. What does it mean by he over here? Some have said it refers to your Lord. Meaning eventually, you're going to meet your Lord. And secondly, mulaqihi, it refers to your kadah, your effort. So you're going to meet your Lord. In Surah Hud, ayah 123, we learn, وَلِلَّهِ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجِعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّ. All matters return to him. إِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرُ. So many times we have learned this in the Quran, that eventually people will end up where? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're going through life with a lot of effort, and eventually you're going to meet your Lord, or eventually you're going to meet your effort, what you've done. What does this ayah show to us? That life is difficult. Life is kadah. It's about kadah. It's about putting in effort. And if you think about it, this is so true. Life is never easy. If you just see how a child is born, the first days as well, the beginning days as well, how the child is struggling to eat, struggling to move, crying with so much effort. And then as a child learns to sit, he sits and he falls. He sits and he falls again. As he's learning to walk, he walks and he falls. And he falls so many, many times. Isn't it so? And what do people say? This is what life is. This is a part of life. You have to go through all of this. Isn't it? So the difficulties of life, they never come to an end. They only increase. People look at, you know, little children and say, how lucky. You don't know the kind of pain and suffering they're going through. Isn't it? Similarly, you know, people look at those who are younger than them and they say, how lucky. And those who are younger than them, they say, no, I wish I were in your place. So this is a fact of life, that life is difficult. In Surah Al-Balad, ayah 4, Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. We have certainly created man into hardship.
One sister, she just had children. And she was telling me that getting pregnant, it was very hard. And then also having the children, delivery was so very hard. Until since the children were born, were in the, like almost 2 months in the hospital, 1 month in the hospital. And now she find out that one of her child has to go to surgery. The heart is not function well. And I was thinking, like, so the beginning was so hard. Until now they're going through. That's when I was thinking, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي قَبَدٍ.
That the difficulty never ends. Isn't it so? That one difficulty is followed by another. You know, for example, when a child is being breastfed, the mother thinks, oh, I can't wait until he starts eating. Okay, then when the child starts eating, is he allergic to this food? Is he allergic to that food? Okay, he's allergic to this food. He cannot have this food. You know, it just gets more and more complicated. You think that as life will go on, it will become easier. But the fact is that as life goes on, it becomes more challenging, more difficult, because this is the reality of life. Allah says over here, Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbik. You are putting in effort, you're exerting, you're toiling day in and day out, and at the end, you're going to meet Allah. At the end, you're going to meet your effort. So, mulaqihi, it should make us think about two things. First of all, it should make us think, then what kind of effort are we putting in? Is our life only worrying about your food and your drink and your clothing and your health and your house and this problem and that problem? Because problems are a part of life. Isn't it so? So a person must not get consumed by these problems that come in life. Rather, he should have a greater goal. That with these problems, with these difficulties, with these challenges, what is he striving towards? For example, at the end of the day, what is your goal? Just to get your house clean? What's your goal at the end of the day? Just to go to the doctor and come back? Really? No, that should not be your ultimate purpose of the day. It should be a higher goal. It should be a greater goal. Because at the end, on the day of judgment, you're going to meet your effort. You're going to see what you were striving after. Were you striving after just going for one appointment after the other? Today you have to go to the doctor, tomorrow to the dentist, tomorrow you have to take somebody else today, next week you have to go for another appointment. Is that all that your life is about? You're going to meet your effort. What are you tiring after? What are you getting exhausted over? Just cleaning and cooking and having fun? No, there should be much more to your effort. Your effort should be meaningful. Your effort should be meaningful. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَادِحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. And secondly, that you're going to meet your Lord at the end. In Surah Al-Najm, Ayah 42, وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ. And that to your Lord is the finality. Everyone goes to Allah. In Surah Al-Ghashiyah, Ayah 25-26, إِنَّ إِلَيْنَا إِيَابَهُمْ ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا حِسَابَهُمْ. So at the end, you're going to meet your Lord. What are you taking with yourself? What kind of effort are you putting? What will you bring with yourself when you meet your Lord? إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَادِحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. You're going to meet Him. So what are you taking along with you? So this shows to us that people, they put in different types of efforts in this life. Some are those who are putting in effort, and their effort is all about good things. They are putting in effort, they're toiling, they're exerting. Why? In order to get something good. Their effort is good, their goal is good. So when they meet their Lord, when they're leaving this dunya, what will they be told? يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ ارْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ. How? رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً. Another type of effort is that which is bad. That a person is putting in effort. Why? In disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing that which Allah does not approve of. Just fulfilling his desires. And when a person, when he goes to Allah in this state, how will he be brought? The angels of death, when they come to him, what will they say to him? Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul khabisa. That lived in the jasad that was khabis. Come out to the ghadab of Allah. Innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadihan famulaqihi. So we have to see, what kind of effort are we putting in? Is it meaningful? Is it purposeful? Or is it just one day after the other and we have no aim, no goal, nothing achieved at the end? فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. Then as for he who is given his record in his right hand, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Then he will be judged with an easy account. At the end, you're going to meet your effort. And all of your effort, where is it contained? Where is it recorded? In your record. So if a person is given his record in his right hand, then what will happen? He will be judged with an easy account. حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Who will call him to account? His Lord, Allah. Who will take hisab of a person? Allah will take the account. وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّهُ. إِنَّ إِلَيْنَا إِيَابَهُمْ ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا حِسَابَهُمْ. So a person whose record is given to him in his right hand, his hisab will be easy. What does it mean by this, that his hisab will be easy? Easy hisab means that a person's deeds are presented, his shortcomings, his sins, his faults, whatever he has done, they're also brought forth. However, Allah forgives him. Meaning Allah does not ask him, why did you do this? We learn from a hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever is interrogated during the reckoning, then he will be punished. He's finished. Whoever is interrogated, you did this, why did you do it? That's it, that person is doomed, he's finished. Because no matter what excuse you bring, what justification you give, it's not acceptable. Isn't it so? Like Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to that man, قَدْ تَفَفْتَ. You have fallen short. Right? So any explanation a person gives on that day, it's not acceptable. So a person who's interrogated, that's it, he's punished. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, but didn't Allah say, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا? meaning the questioning can also be easy. The Prophet ﷺ replied, that is not during the reckoning, rather it's referring to the presentation, meaning presentation of the deeds. Whoever is interrogated during the reckoning on the Day of Judgment, he will be punished. So what is hisaban yasira? That a person's deeds are displayed, his shortcomings are displayed, they are presented, however, he is not questioned as to why he did it. Remember that hadith, that a person will be brought very close to Allah, Allah will ask him, you did this, you did this, you did this. And a person will acknowledge until he will think, that's it, I'm finished. And then Allah will say, I covered these sins for you in the dunya, and today I forgive them for you. So this is what hisaban yasira is. Hisaban yasira doesn't mean that a person will be questioned, so why did you do this? And why did this happen? And why did you not do this? This is not hisaban yasira. Hisaban yasira is that deeds are presented, but a person is not questioned about them. You understand? Similarly, hisab and yasira does not mean that a person is not brought to account at all. No. Hisab and yasira is that he is brought to account. His deeds are displayed. He is made to confess, but then Allah forgives. So whoever is given his record and his right, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. This is why the Prophet ﷺ would make that dua, اللهم حاسبني حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Because whoever is questioned, he's finished. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. And he will return to his people in happiness. Because he was questioned with حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, and then he will go to his family happy. Which family is this? Those who have already entered in Jannah. So he will go and join them. And when he will go and join them, he will be masroor, he will be very happy. Secondly, it is said that this ahl refers to the rest of the believers who are in Jannah. Because all of the believers are who? Like one big family. So وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. And the word masroor, this is from sir. Sir is a secret that you keep in your heart. And from this surur is to feel pleasure in the heart. Such happiness, such pleasure that a person experiences in the heart. And when a person is happy in the heart, that is real happiness. Isn't it? He doesn't have to force himself to be happy. He doesn't have to force himself to smile. No. He will smile without any effort. So وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. On the other hand, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. But as for he who was given his record behind his back, وَرَاءَ behind, ظَهْرِهِ, his back. Why is it that he will be given his record behind his back? Don't we learn he will be given his record بِشِمَالِهِ? In Surah Al-Haqqa, that's what we learn, in the left. So over here it's mentioned behind the back. Why? It has been said that when a person will be given his record, he will try to take it from his right. When he will try to take it from his right, he will not be able to. Why? Because the right hand will be chained, it will be tied up, it will be locked, so he will not be able to extend his right hand out. He will only be able to take it with his left. So what will he do? He will put his left hand behind his back. I don't want to take it. Just imagine. Just imagine, he wants to take it with his right. He cannot take it with his right. The only option is taking with the left. He doesn't want to take it with the left. So he takes his hand behind his back. And when he takes his hand behind his back, he'll be given his record over there. Or that he'll be given his record in the left, and immediately he will hide it behind his back. Why? Because he's embarrassed. He doesn't want to even acknowledge, he doesn't even want to see, he doesn't want other people to find out that he has been given his record in his left. When you're given something that you don't want to see, you don't want others to see, what do? You put it behind your back immediately. So وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. But as for he who is given his record behind his back, فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا. He will cry out for destruction. يَدْعُو, he will call out. He will call, he will ask, he will pray for ثُبُور, for destruction, that may I be destroyed, may I be finished. يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا. ثُبُور is from سَبَارًا, and ثُبُور is destruction, complete ruin, absolute destruction. Literally it is when a wound of a person goes bad. And when the wound goes bad, then what does it mean? the limb has to be cut off. When it's infected, it's spread, then what does it mean? The limb has to be cut off. When it's cut off, that's it, it's finished. So thubur is ultimate destruction, ultimate ruin, complete death. فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا. He will ask for destruction. يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. In Surah Al-Kahf, Ayah 49, we learn, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِي. Afraid of what is in it. Afraid of what is in it. He will not want to see it. He will say, يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَ. I wish I had not been given my record. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. But asking for destruction will not bring him destruction. Rather, he will be admitted where? Into the burning blaze, into the hellfire. He will ask for thubur because he would rather finish than go to hellfire. But he will not finish, he will not be turned to dust. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. He'll be admitted into the fire and burn over there. Why? Allah says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. Indeed, he had once been among his family, among his people, in happiness. In this dunya, he lived in a lot of joy. He was very happy, especially with his family members. Doesn't mean it's wrong to be happy with one's family members. No, this is such masroor, this is such pleasure, that makes a person just pursue his desires. So he doesn't care about what is right, what is wrong. He just wants to be happy. Happy with his family, happy with his friends. So he doesn't care about what Allah has commanded, what Allah has forbidden. So if he's watching something, it's time to pray. I don't want to get up and pray. I'm talking right now, I'm having so much fun. I don't want to get up and pray. I'm talking about this, I don't want to change the topic. I like it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. And إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُورَ. Indeed, he had thought he would never return to Allah. You see, a person whose goal is the akhirah, whose goal is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what happens? He strives in the way of Allah. Isn't it? And when he's striving in the way of Allah, then he has to take time out from his personal life. Isn't it so? Remember that incident of that companion who, every time he wanted to go for jihad, his family, his wife and children, they would start crying. And when they would start crying, he would not go. Similarly, those companions in Makkah, they wanted to migrate. Every time they thought of migrating, the family would say, no, no, please don't. So just to be happy with the family, just to spend a lot of time with them, and be pleased with them, this person neglected his akhirah. And what's the reason behind neglecting the akhirah? إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُورَ. Indeed, he had thought he would never return to Allah. يَحُور. يَحُور is from the root letters حَوَرَ. And حَوَر is رُجُور. To return, to go back. It's basically to go around and return to the origin. Like for example, you're driving around, roundabout. So it's like you drive from one side and you take a complete circle and you go back to where you came from. So this is what hawar is, rujur, to return. And hawar is the opposite of al-kawar. Al-kawar is to wrap the turban, and hawar is to undo it. So innahu dhanna an lan yahur, he thought he would never be returned, never go back. Never go back to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was lost in the pleasures of this life. He never thought of the hereafter. His focus was not the hereafter. His focus was the dunya. His focus was the pleasure of this dunya. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُورَ. Allah says, بَلَى. But yes, he will definitely return to Allah. إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. Indeed, his Lord was ever seeing of him. Meaning just because a person thinks he's not going back to Allah doesn't mean Allah doesn't know about what his deeds. No, Allah is watching all of the deeds of a person. إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. Allah knows everything we're doing. Every single thing. Whether we have the akhirah in mind or we don't have the akhirah in mind. Whatever effort, whatever kadh we're putting in, Allah is watching that. Recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا السماء انشقت وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَى أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا إنه كان في أهله مسرورا إنه ظن أن لن يحور بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا.
If you think about it, the one who is given his record in his right hand, what does Allah say about him? That he will go to his family, how? وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, on the day of judgment. And the person who is given his record in his left, behind his back, he was in this dunya, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. He was very happy in the dunya. So we see that one is the happiness of dunya, and the other is the happiness of akhirah. The happiness of dunya, that's temporary. It will eventually go away. It will eventually be replaced by misery. And the happiness of the hereafter, that is eternal. That is never ending. So a person who prefers the happiness of this dunya, he will not get happiness of the akhirah. And a person whose goal is the happiness of the akhirah, then he may suffer with regards to the happiness of this dunya. But he should keep his goal, the happiness of the hereafter, because that is permanent. And think about it, that وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. He will go to his family happy. He will join his family happy. So yes, right now you have to sacrifice, you have to spend time away. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make up for that in the hereafter. Isn't it so? So this is why a person should never give preference to his dunya over the akhirah.